Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
To the Middle East now, where the US President Joe Biden and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have agreed to allow food, water and medicine to cross from Egypt into the Gaza Strip. And in the last few minutes, pictures have been released of the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak meeting Prime Minister Netanyahu in Tel Aviv. And from there now, I'm joined by Tel Aviv-based journalist Hannah McCarthy. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. So this deal, firstly, to allow that much needed aid into Gaza, are there any more details emerging about how that's going to work, when that aid will be released into the Gaza Strip?
Yeah, so there was approval for 20 trucks full of aid to pass through the Rafah crossing, which is between Egypt and the Gaza Strip. It's not connected to Israeli territory at all, but basically in order for it to pass safely, they needed reassurances from Israel that there would be no aerial strikes, which have happened in the last week. So the issue, though, is it can't go immediately into the Gaza Strip because the road has been damaged. So there'll be a slight delay getting the aid in. I spoke to someone with working for the UN in Gaza at the moment, and they said they were expecting to actually get aid Friday morning. That will obviously take a bit of time to distribute out to people. So they're expecting it Friday. And again, I would emphasize that what's being permitted is food, water, medicine. Fuel isn't being included, which also creates, you know, some other issues about how food is going to be preserved, cooking food, you know, transport for people.
And I don't see any information emerging as I'm looking here on the wires in relation to that meeting between Rishi Sunak and Benjamin Netanyahu. Rishi Sunak, I suppose, is likely to make a statement later in the day, much the way Joe Biden did yesterday.
Yeah, and I think the kind of language that Biden used will probably be echoed by Rishi Sunak. You know, Biden made statements that, I mean, I think Netanyahu be quite happy with, you know, talked about, you know, Israel not never being alone, the US standing by it. You know, there was some obviously kind of cautionary language. He talked about 9/11 and how, you know, the US sought justice after that, but, you know, in its anger, you know, it made mistakes. And I mean, I think most people will be very aware of the post-mortem that has happened on the Iraq war and the war in Afghanistan, and, you know, how that is perceived as a US foreign policy blunder. So I think that was the kind of warning we were getting from Biden. But very much I stand with Israel sentiment that I think we will see from Rishi Sunak. Mm-hmm.
But that warning from Joe Biden, do you think it has landed in Israel?
I would say the mood in Israel is that people are very much primed for a ground invasion. That's what they're expecting. That's what I think a lot of the media is readying for. There are pockets of Israelis who are protesting against the war. And I would say they've actually faced backlash from the police in Israel over that. The head of the Israeli police came out and said that he would, you know, bus anti-war protesters in Israel to Gaza if that's what they were going to do. And they stopped a protest in the Israeli city of Haifa yesterday. So and we also are hearing calls from families of the hostages who say that, look, they think the priority should be, you know, looking for any solution to get the hostages back safely, whether that's a prisoner exchange or some other political agreement, rather than the focus being on an all-out ground invasion.
Now, I know that you're just back from a kibbutz which was targeted on the 7th of October. And just reading your reporting, it's just really striking that you describe this place, as which was full of peace advocates, it's now full of soldiers. Will you tell us what it's like there?
Sure. So, I mean, it's very kind of sad at the moment to see it, because, and obviously the area around the Gaza border in southern Israel has been evacuated. So there's basically no civilians there at the moment. And what you've seen is a huge influx of Israeli soldiers. About 300,000 have been deployed around that area. That's people who have, you know, come back from abroad, who've left their jobs, and they've basically, you know, taken over kind of spots around the Gaza border. So in this case, the kibbutz, known as Kibbutz Be'eri, has been basically taken over by kind of a couple of hundred troops who have set up camps in that area. And again, all along kind of the roads that way, you're kind of seeing, the only real signs you see of people are Israeli soldiers.
Who are waiting, aren't they, for their instructions?
Yes, and I think what we're seeing now is, you know, people are from a military side, they are ready to go, they say. And I think this is the kind of dangerous spot where you have the military very much saying, we're ready to go, we just need a green light. And I think when you're at that kind of point where it feels like, you know, it is inevitable that's a ground invasion, it can get very difficult to turn that around and say we're not going to have a ground invasion at this point. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're definitely seeing more international pressure on the Israeli government to think very clearly about what is their plan for after the invasion is, you know, quote unquote, won. And again, that's kind of the lessons of, for America from their invasion of Iraq, you know, what happens after you go in. And I think some of Biden's rhetoric did actually emphasize that.
Yeah, because that is the big question, isn't it? What happens after this war is waged? You know, is the reoccupation of Gaza being considered?
So yesterday we heard comments from the Israeli foreign minister, Eli Cohen, who said, you know, after the war, the Gaza Strip has to be smaller. That can mean a couple of different things. Gaza was once, you know, occupied by the Israelis and there were settlements there. They decided they were too difficult to protect and the Israeli military withdrew those settlements in 2005. So whether it's this idea that they're going to annex part of Gaza or they're just going to have a security buffer zone, it's not clear what he exactly means by that. But it is very worrying. The Gaza Strip is already one of the most densely populated areas in the world. The idea of making it smaller, to provide a security buffer, it's very worrying for, you know, Gazans right now. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to cut across you, Hannah, but, you know, the other concern has to be from an Israeli point of view, and the New York Times journalist Ezra Klein makes this point, that anything Israel does to increase Palestinian desperation makes Hamas stronger, which is actually the last thing you would imagine Israel would want. Is that a factor in their considerations?
You know, from speaking with people, I don't think there's a very strong willingness, you know, from the people I've spoken with in the military or in Israel so far. I mean, obviously, there's some peace activists that, you know, are talking about that. But in general, there doesn't seem to be a lot of discussion on a political solution or, you know, some of the roots of Hamas. I know in Ireland, people will understand that many people had, you know, great grandparents who, you know, fought against the British and grandparents who never touched a gun after that. I think, you know, Irish people have an understanding of, you know, what political solutions can bring. And certainly, you know, I've spoken to, you know, Israeli Palestinians who said, you know, at the end of this, Palestinians need to have hope that there is going to be a way forward, that, you know, that they can have a normal life and access, you know, to healthcare, education and rights and free movement, which they don't currently have in Gaza. And I think this idea of giving hope and a pathway forward, particularly Palestinians who are not advocating for Hamas or armed resistance, I mean, that needs to be presented. Otherwise, you know, this is going to, you know, happen again.
Has there been a united view expressed by the families of the hostages who must be extremely nervous at the prospect of a ground invasion happening now? And yes, you would imagine that they want Israelis to go in there and rescue their people.
I don't know if there's necessarily a unified view across the families. Not all of them will have spoken to the media, but we have. I'm actually due to speak with one person whose family is in Gaza at the moment later, and you know they say their priority is they want the safe return of their family members, and again what they would view is like why is Israel not talking about a prisoner exchange or some sort of agreement that could allow the hostages to return? They have deep concerns about, you know, whether a ground invasion will lead to the safe return of their family.
Hannah, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. That's Hannah McCarthy, who is a Tel Aviv-based journalist. Now, it's 1 year on from the departure of Liz Truss. Remember Liz Truss as British Prime Minister? We're going to look back at her very turbulent, short but turbulent time in office and her surprising legacy.
Text
51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.